bow your eyes and close your heads. Father, we love you so much, and God, we just love what you're doing in us, and man, like worship was so good tonight, just drinking in your goodness and drinking in your faithfulness. And Father, I ask that as we just delve into your word together and as we talk as a church, Papa, I'm really asking that you continue to speak to our hearts and open us up to the bigness of who you are. God, you are not limited by the plans of man, by the little things, she's agreeing with me, by the little things of this world, God, and we refuse to box you in, and we refuse to limit you, God. So would you enlarge our awareness of how good you are and your goodness for us, God, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So grab your Bibles. We're going to continue our series on change that we've been going through. Change and growth. How many of you guys have enjoyed this series? Yeah, it's been really good. I've got like so much revelation. I want to just recap a few things. Let's just dive into it. do you guys remember this? I preached on this verse early on, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not know it? Are you not sensing it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And a lot of this series kind of started because I'd had this passage on my heart for like months and months and months. And like God was saying to us as a church, guys, I'm growing you. I'm leading you in new directions. And like I said in that first sermon, that word perceive, do you not perceive it? It's the same word. It's that word in Hebrew, yada, which is the word that is used in Genesis when it describes Adam and Eve having marital intercourse. It's that knowing. It's like a deep knowing. And it's the same word in the Bible where it says, be still and know that I am God. So it's like, it's a knowing, but it's like more than just like information. It's like a deep, committed kind of knowing. So God's saying to us, has been saying to us as a church, guys, aren't you sensing, aren't you knowing what I'm doing? As if to say, come, sense, know what I'm doing. Like it's almost like an invitation. I love it. It says as well, now it springs up. Like, and that word, the word in Hebrew for the springs, it's almost like something that's budding or blossoming or just like, just coming out of the ground, you know? And I'm saying it's like exciting. There's like, it's like green, like our city. How many of you guys have realized that Toronto is like immensely green? It's awesome. I was just telling someone that it's like, it's been like, Toronto's been really cool. It's been like really hot and really wet and then really hot. And then it's been like tropical. All of a sudden we've become like a tropical city. It's really cool. And that's why everything's so green and like luscious. I love it. It's so nice. And so I'm going to boast a little bit. Many of you guys remember that I talked about my garden at the very beginning. This is the garden that I planted. When did I plant it, love? About a month ago? Yeah, about a month ago. And I'm like a dad. Okay, so... No, we're good. We're good. We're good. No need to run. No need to run. Okay. So I think I said this last time, but I want to make sure that you understand that's basil and that's parsley and these are cherry tomatoes and that's cucumbers and that's one type of lettuce. And that's another type of lettuce. And those are a different type of tomatoes. And over here, there's jalapenos and green onions. No. No, I know because I have a note there I have to read. Okay. So that I feel like this is like a picture of kind of where we were, right? Like I feel like we came out of like the winter. It was a hard winter for a lot of people. And I feel like we came into the spring and God was like, okay, it's a new time. It's a new day. And I was telling the prayer circle that kind of started the service together that I've had this image in my mind of a huge... of a huge, I have to pay him now for this, of a huge field that had like gone fallow. It had been like not worked, like the soil hadn't been worked. And you know, you ever see those fields, you're like driving in the country and like grasses and wildflowers and all stuff has started to grow, but it hasn't been used for its purpose. It's kind of like purposeless. And I had this picture of that and I felt like that kind of represented some areas of our lives. And that I saw that in these past few months, God has been like working that soil because you have to like work the soil before you can use it to grow things in, right? I felt like God had been stirring the soil up and turning the soil over. And actually it's one of the easiest ways that you can prepare soil to be used. You just take it and flip it over, flip all the weeds and stuff over and give it a little bit of time. And then you start to plant, right? And I feel like God's been doing that with us. He's been turning some things on their heads. He's been stirring some stuff up. He's been unearthing some stuff and getting rid of junk. And it's been really cool because I feel like we've been really ready. And then I felt like the spring was like God being like, okay, I'm going to start to plant stuff. And some of it were like little seedlings that he put in our hearts. It's so cool, like talking to you guys through this process. Sarah and I have such a really unique perspective. Because for some of you, God's like started to put just plant like an idea of hope. I feel like God's reawakening this dream, or God's reminding me of that desire that I had. Or all of a sudden, this has been, this financial stream has been connected into me that I've been praying for so many years, or new relationships or new things. It's very cool what God is doing. Some of those, it's just little seeds. And for some of you, God's like put an actual, like a plant. Like a plantling, like my cherry tomatoes there on the bottom right hand corner. Aren't they nice? Aren't they nice? Sarah and I went to a garden center and we purchased them, and of course I'm like a maniac, so I'm like searching through what, like 200 cherry tomato plants to find like the one that's like the most healthy and beautiful, the one that like my spirit calls out to my spirit. So I picked that one anyway. Okay, yada, the one that I know. Anyway, and so now this is what it looks like. I took this today. Yes, 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 I know. I took this picture today, and I'm going to show you again. So these are my cherry tomatoes, and I've had to actually tie them to the fence because they've grown up so much. And they have all these little like baby cherry tomatoes that are very, very green and very small that are starting to grow. My basil's getting huge, although I think I might have slugs, but I'm going to cast those out. And then there's the parsley, which is getting huge, and the lettuces are getting quite large, and the other tomatoes. And I wish you could see my green onions, but they're like out of the picture. So it's really cool. I guess it's like the boy in me. The part of it is like just like the it's working. I don't working the land and like watching things grow. And I just like every time we park in the back, you can't really see it, but if you take that pathway, that's kind of where my car is in our backyard. And every time I walk by, I look at them and I feel a little bit like a little sense of pride. Like these are like my babies that I'm growing, you know. And it's cool. Like it's mine, right? And it's one of these things that like I'm doing. God has enabled me to do, and I feel a sense of like power in it. Donna. Oh yes, yes, yes. Let's go back and forth. Ready? Before. After. Before. With Jesus. Before Jesus. With Jesus. Actually, before was with Jesus as well. But now it's more of Jesus. Yeah. That's like 25% Jesus. That's 50% Jesus. And I'll keep taking pictures so you guys can get an idea of what it's like over the course of the summer. I want to just say, like, Sarah and I are really proud of you guys, particularly those of you who had to make some really big decisions in the past few weeks. It's so interesting the way God has, like, God prepared us to preach this series as like a pastoral team. And so many of you have had to make like really difficult decisions, and we've been kind of like pastoring you, or some of the lead team have been pastoring you through that. And I have to say, I'm so proud of you guys because of the decisions you guys have been making. You guys are looking like this in the spirit. There's all this new growth that is starting to happen because we've been saying yes to God. We've been saying yes again and yes again and yes again. And God's like, that's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. I was looking to cut off that area that's not fruitful. I was looking to build in that area that you thought was desolate. I was looking to grow in that area you'd given up hope in, right? And I feel like some of you, even as I'm saying this, you're like, God, I can't even sense that I've been saying yes. Does God ever do this with you? He's like Jehovah Sneaky. He'll like, that's Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson says, sometimes he's Jehovah Sneaky. And God does this with me. He'll be working in an area of my life, and something will be happening over here in my life. And I'm like, what's that? And God's like, oh, don't worry about that. Just look over here. And I'm like, oh, this looks kind of cool. And then like 6 months later, I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, you've been doing all this stuff over here. And I haven't even realized it. And I feel like for some of you, that's also what's been going on. You've been sensing the Lord because you've just been like walking your road with him, living in intimacy with him, living in what he's calling you to do. And the Lord's just kind of been working behind the scenes as well as in front of you. He's giving you a couple things that you and he are working on. But behind the scenes, he's growing some stuff. He's working some new ground, right? And I want to honor you for that. I feel like it's because you've been saying yes to the Lord that all this stuff has been growing. I need to say, for those of you who are like visitors, this isn't your home church. Tonight's kind of like a family chat night. Did you ever have that happen as a kid where you're over at someone's house and dad's like, I need to, and like they're like disciplining like one of their children? And you're kind of like, oh no, not that tonight's like a discipline night, but did you ever have that happen where you're kind of like, oh, I'm over at like a family event. So you're welcome, but I just need you to know that tonight's a family night, just so you don't feel like, oh, should I leave? Do you want me to leave? So anyway, you're welcome. Grab a chair, sit down, have a seat. You're welcome to be here, but tonight's a family night. Okay, Lover, can you talk about your story? I want you just to tell a hilarious story about learning to ride a bike. Yes, because what I want to touch on tonight is how God has this way of like growing us. And sometimes it's like he'll offer us like something like come forward. Sometimes it's a push. Sometimes it's just a call of his spirit. Sometimes it's just something we do with a group of people. We all move in, even though we're like, what are we doing? We're just moving. Like Israel, like God's like, just go there. And they're like, okay, oh, all right, we're going. We're following the pillar. And we're just going to go, right? They just did it. And so God has all these different ways of doing it. And love, can you talk a little bit about, Sarah wants to just tell a quick story about how she learned to ride a bike.
So I am the eldest child of my family. And the eldest grandchild of both sides. So I kind of got a lot of attention when I was younger, which is a couple of light bulbs are going off in people's minds like, oh, I understand her so much. Well, no. That's why he's given me the microphone. I'm not going to give it back for a while. So when I was learning how to ride a bicycle, like a two-wheeler, how many of you guys remember those terrifying days of like balance and being like, but I'm moving quickly. Also, I need to have balance. Like if this goes badly, this goes very badly. It's not like, anyway. So I was a little bit scared. I was on my two-wheeler and my parents, for whatever reason, didn't believe in training wheels. They're like, no, that's like for sissies or something. Anyway, it was probably my mother. It's probably a word from the Lord. So she's like, no, just get on the bike and just ride it. So I was scared and I wanted somebody to kind of help me. So my dad and my grandfather also, my grandfather happened to be over that day. So the two of them, I mean, I was just like the star of the show that afternoon, and they decided to push me. We lived on a circle back then. It was Marchington Circle in Scarborough. So we lived at one house, but it would just basically, the entire row of houses just went in a circle, as you can imagine by my hand going like this. So they literally pushed me around on this two-wheeler like all afternoon. I wasn't getting it. My balance was very bad, apparently. Like most kids would be like, okay, I got it, and then ride off. No. I was like, no, I need more help. I need more help. So they both be like, my grandfather was in his 70s at the time. They're like, like puffing behind me, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, I rock. I got this team of people who are making me look awesome. Woo! And I'm like riding along. And then finally my dad's like, okay, why don't you try it by yourself? So what they would do, they would get me started. They would start pushing, and then they would just let go. And I would, you know, I would kind of have the momentum that I needed to keep straight. So this one time they pushed me and I'm like, I'm going, I'm pedaling. I'm like, yeah, I rock this world. And yeah. And I look back at them and I'm like, cause they're like cheering me on. I'm like, yeah, I rock. I'm wonderful. And there was this garbage can in front of me and I crashed into it. But I was like, I was so intense on the fact that I was awesome that I kind of ended up not being awesome. And they laughed with me. I didn't really actually bail that badly. Like I didn't hurt myself. So they came running up to me and they're like, oh, that's okay. Come on, get on the bike again. And they pushed me around some more. And like, seriously, I think I must have totally exhausted my grandfather, but I wasn't even thinking of that. I was just thinking, it's all about me and my bike riding right now. And now I know how to ride a two-wheeler. The end.
Woo. Thank you, love. And this is what God does with us. Does God not do that with you? God does that with me a lot. He'll often just like set me up for like little bits of success. And I'm like, oh, I like this. I like a little bit of success. And he's like, oh, just keep going then. And just keep going like a little bit more success, a little bit more success. And before you realize it, you're like spiritually riding a bike in some area of your life or in your finances or in a relationship or with those people you work with. And you're like, how did I even, God, you tricked me, God. And God's like, not I tricked you, but you're now doing what I called you to do, right? Let's go on. Flipping your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I want to look at some stuff and then we're gonna chat some more. Okay, this is Acts chapter 1. I love it because this is Jesus being a little bit like, I'm just done with the disciples. I need to get out of here. So Jesus has like, he's like endured the cross. He's like risen from the grave, conquered hell and the grave and sin and sickness and punishment and not Helen, hell and, but I mean, he loves Helen. He did it for Helen, but he went to hell and destroyed the grave. Anyway, so we're in Acts chapter 1. And Luke gives us a cool account of what happened. And Jesus says in verse 4, he says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they're like, I don't know what that means. All right. Verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, I love this. Now look at this. The whole time Jesus has been talking about this kingdom, right? This upside down kingdom where if you want to be great, you have to serve, not lord over people, right? Like this amazing kingdom the whole time. And then the disciples are like, I love this. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Can't you just see them with like their like pitchforks and like their like swords and stuff? Because basically what they're asking is, okay, now you've risen from the dead. Now are you going to like come and become like the politician and like take over? Right? Because I think that's what they were expecting. They were expecting like an earthly ruler who was going to come and like rule in like the political arena and reestablish the nation of Israel. Jesus was like, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you, and again, here we go. He's reiterating something. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus doesn't really answer the question. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. I love it. Because Jesus is probably like, get me up, beam me up, Jesus. I mean, Father. I'm done with this. Because they weren't getting it. They weren't getting it, right? And of course, they get it in Acts chapter 2, right? In Acts chapter 2, something incredible happens. What happens? The Holy Spirit comes. Holy Spirit, like, falls. So let's read from Acts chapter 2. I'm sorry, just in Acts chapter 1. There we go, Acts chapter 2. Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing in my Bible. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So they have got it at this point. They're like, okay, no swords, but we have to stay together because Holy Spirit's coming. Okay, don't leave Jerusalem. They're all together in one place. Suddenly the sound, like the blowing of a violent wind. Pause. When I was a kid, I would often hear people talk about this story. And they would often say that the disciples were all in one place and they were fasting and they were praying. But we don't see that here. We see that they were all together in one place. They could have been like just chilling out, telling stories about Jesus, enjoying his presence, talking about how good he is, right? You know what I'm saying? So I love the fact that like all they did was obey. The Father was like, I've got something cool for you. Just chill out and wait for it. So they chilled out and wait for it. And then all of a sudden, verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem. So I want you to see that, right? They're all in that room. All of a sudden, Holy Spirit comes in this really apparent way, right? There's this wind. They feel the wind and they see the fire come and rest on each person. And then they hear everyone speaking in tongues, all these different languages. Verse 5. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, so they must have been quite loud upstairs, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Verse 7. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Galileans. How is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, I can never pronounce that, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? And some, however, said, they're drunk. Something really interesting happens here, right? Remember, I want you to look at these two stories we've just seen, right? They're ready for Jesus to go. Jesus is with them. They're like, Jesus, now they've got their like swords. And they're like, all right, Jesus, now are you going to come and like establish your political rule here on earth? And Jesus is like, remember what I said about the Holy Spirit coming? Just chill out. I'm out of here. And then he leaves. And then, so they're chilling out and they're like, well, he said we need to wait for Holy Spirit. I don't even know what that means, but we're waiting. We're waiting on him, right? And then Holy Spirit comes. And Holy Spirit doesn't come and then they elect a political leader. It's very interesting. What happens? All of a sudden, Holy Spirit comes and empowers them and emboldens them and fills them. And then what, I mean, we don't really have time to read it, but then Peter stands up and addresses this crowd of like all these different races. It's not just like, this is like the biggest crusade of all time at once. Like all of these Jews from all these different nations in one place, right? They're all there. And Peter stands up in front of them and addresses all of them. And this is like Peter's constantly putting his foot in his mouth and like denying the Lord and asking the wrong questions and trying to defend Jesus when actually it's the devil working. I mean, like Peter got it wrong a lot. But this time, Peter stands up full of the Holy Spirit in this boldness and in this significant wisdom and pulls together all of this understanding that he's been gleaning, all of these scriptures, and lays out for all these Jews, like the most sincere and secure case that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Such that, I love this, in verse 41 it says, this is so powerful, in verse 41 it says, those who accepted his message were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, I love the way God works. God could have done the following. God could have had Jesus stay on earth, become a king, and establish his political rule. And through like force, brute force, made people come into the kingdom of God. Establish the kingdom of God via any means necessary, probably using force. They would have had to overthrow Rome and Caesar and like all that stuff, right? But that's not the way God works. God always works by drawing people's hearts. I love that Paul made it really clear when he said to us, it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. Isn't that awesome about God? It's not the fact that he's so big and can squish us like an ant if he wanted to. That's not what leads us to repent. That's never what leads our hearts to true repentance. What leads us to repent, which means to like leave behind our sin and really follow God, what leads us to do that is an awareness of his kindness. And in this moment, Peter gets up and he discusses and tells the Jews, this is who this Jesus was. He was God. He was this Messiah we've been waiting for. And he's here to offer us salvation. It's not something you work at. It's not something you could have earned. If you would have, you would have. And you can't. And here it is for free. That might be him calling. Just now. Anyone? Lord? That's okay. So in this moment, God establishes a kingdom in a way that we wouldn't have thought would have made sense, right? Again, I love that Melinda Fish says, if I was Jesus and I rose from the dead, I would have been like, start printing t-shirts, we're going on a world tour. People are going to worship me. But that wasn't the way he thought. He thought, I want to demonstrate the kindness and the love of my Father. And through that, draw people to him. Okay. I want to build a little bit on this. What's so cool is that, Lord, every time I say something really good, that's what's happening. I'm just joking. God is building all these new things in us. So turn to the person beside you and say, you are a disciple. You and I, we are disciples and we're like the disciples, and God is waking us up to the fact that he's doing new things in us and he's doing big things in us, and he's choosing you to be a carrier of his Holy Spirit. He's choosing you every day to carry his Holy Spirit and to carry his kingdom and to bring this life to the people around us. I want to just keep reading for a sec. In chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, look at this picture of like awesome community. Look at how beautiful this is. Verse 46. Every day, these are talking about the believers, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This doesn't look anything like a political movement. This is not like a king who said, obey me. Because if they were obeying, they'd probably be doing their obeying and then going back and living their lives, right? Instead, their lives have been changed. They're now living a new life. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. So what the kingdom of God is all about is not like establishing some rule or reign, right? For us, it's about, that's why all of you guys come here. Because you and I are hungry to live our lives in community and in communion with him. In this knowing of him. In this walking with him, right? And that's what happens in that moment. When Peter gets up, all of a sudden, the church explodes. The church is birthed in that moment. And people are drawn in. And more and more, people are like, I don't want to just join a political thing. I want to live my life unto something, with people, in something, right? It's so beautiful. It's like, it's awesome. It's like, I think it's like, this is what the Garden of Eden would have looked like had we got it right, you know? Okay. So for our church, as God's been growing us, God has been growing momentum. It's so awesome. Sarah and I have been like taking stock at this recently. God's been building this momentum in us as a church for like 2.5 years now. And he's been growing like such a heart of intimacy and of healing. I mean, if there's anything North York is known for, it's like this is like a healing place. Would you guys agree with that? Would you guys say you agree with that? Would you guys say that you agree that North York is like a healing place, maybe? Yes? Okay. Thank you so much for that fervent agreement. And I love the fact that like people can come in here and like come in with really truly broken and destroyed lives. And they come in and they're not judged. And we don't give them a 12-step program. And like the other thing I love about this is that we're not like a therapy circle. We're not like a group where we sit around and talk about our issues and our problems and then leave having at least aired our grievances and having had a little bit of like freedom, but then going right back to them. I love the fact that what has happened here and what God has grown here, and really this is like the fruit of the tree of TACF, because John and Carol and Steve and Sandra and our leaders, they have so fostered an environment where that this is what we do, where everyone that comes in is loved and accepted, but is called into their true identity in God. Right? Because it'd be really mean of God to be like, it'd be very political of God to be like, join my club, you get your stamp, you be you, I'll be me. But that's not what he says. He's like, guess what? You get to give me your whole life and I get to give you something completely new. And I love that. I've seen you guys come in. I've seen those of you who've joined here, especially in the last year, but even in the bits and pieces where Sarah and I were here in the interim, seeing you come in broken, destroyed, misunderstanding life, unsure of your calling, and God has like empowered you and restored you and actually released you into something. It's life. It's awesome. Can we praise him for that? Yeah. Amen. Is that not awesome? And I love that he's been growing all these possibilities. Beth isn't here tonight. I was hoping she would be, but she probably wouldn't mind me talking about this, but about what she does. Do you think she would mind? Yeah. Beth Corbett, she often sits on this side. She's the head of the Young Conservatives of Canada. Like the head. She's like the number one, like the president of the Young Conservatives of Canada. It'd be like, you know, the Federal Conservative Party, how like Stephen Harper is like the head, he's the prime minister of that. She's like the junior Stephen Harper. She runs the Young Conservatives. And she attends our church every day. Now, Beth came in, another one of those people, very unsure, has gone through an amazing process of healing and restoration. And like all of us, like her, like all of us, it's still continuing, right? But God has been releasing her to take the kingdom that's within her. And in like an incredible way, with awesome influence, she's literally affecting the future of our nation. She's like speaking to other young conservatives, like people who in like 10, 15, 20 years are going to be running our country. She has like daily influence with them. It's unbelievable. And like, so Ruth's her cell leader. So like she has a bad day, she calls Ruth up. She's like, because she's connected into this community, right? It's not just like a club that she has a stamp. She's like part of this community. So she calls Ruth up. Ruth, I had such a hard day. Will you pray with me? Will you encourage me? Will you remind me of the promises of God over my life? Will you remind me of the things God's been doing in me? Will you remind me of the stuff God did with me when I went on that encounter? My past was broken off and I was released into these new things. And Ruth does that. And Ruth walks that path with her. And so Beth is like, okay, I can do this. I can walk the kingdom of God out. And more God's filling her with her love, filling her with his love, filling her with like joy and with peace and stuff. So when she goes into a meeting where they're like, completely agnostic, or they're angry, or they're attacking her, she doesn't respond in the same way, but she responds with love. She responds with kindness. She responds with grace, and people are drawn right into that. Right? Isn't that awesome? And you and I are—that's what we're called to do. And I feel like that's the DNA of this church, like this church and the church we belong to as Catch the Fire Toronto. I feel like that's the DNA of who we are. That we are like. Empowering, healing, and sending out. Like I think those are like the three things that our church, that's what we do, right? So I want you to say that. Say empowering, healing, and sending out. Say it again. Empowering, healing, and sending out. And so this is super exciting. So we as like a leadership team have been like in a season of really praying and seeking the Lord for North York. And we're like, oh, what are you saying about us as a church? Because like I actually love this room, but like the place where we meet, people never walk in here. Do you ever notice that? I'll often think that as a pastor, I'm like, we have a pretty friggin' good service. I mean, sometimes I'll leave on Sunday night and I'm like, that was an awesome service. I'm like super blessed. And I feel like we have very little influence and impact on the community around us. So one of the things that we've been doing as a leadership team, together with Steve and Sandra and with John and Carol, is really asking the Lord, God, what are you saying to us as a church? Because individually in our lives, we're all walking our roads, but we're not just individuals, right? We're linked as this community of believers here. And we've been seeking the Lord and saying, God, what are you saying to us about how we can be most effective in releasing your kingdom? How can we do that, right? And so tonight, one of the things we want to do is we want to share with you a new vision for this church as we continue to grow. We're growing in a brand new direction. Part of that is that we're going to move North York. We're going to move from this facility. Now, we've looked at a bunch of different ideas in a bunch of different places, and we've been asking the Lord, God, what are you saying about us as a church? Where are we called to? And very few of us live in this area, and very few of us in my talks with most of you feel called to this area. And so we've been asking the Lord, God, we're meant to be like a young adult focused congregation. We're meant to impact the city. And we're meant to take this love and this linked community here out. How can we do that most effectively? So I think I have a little map. I'm sorry, I'm such a nerd when it comes to this kind of stuff. So there we are. We're the A. That's us right there. And originally, I wonder if I could like, oh, there we go. Okay, so originally we were like, kind of focused on this, York University, that you can see, okay, not anymore, but you can see it there, and kind of focused on that area. And so we've been seeking the Lord, saying, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? So we feel God calling us onto a new area. Now, I want to share with you what we feel first, and then I'm going to talk about where we're going to go. We feel like God is saying, I want to take the momentum that's being built, has been built for 2.5 years, and I want to increase that momentum, and I want to give you more of an outward focus. So we recognize this environment. I mean, today it's awesome. There's that carnival out there. It's like super cool, that festival. But most of the time, the environment we meet in is quite sparse and quite dead. And we've been saying, God, how can we take what you've given us and actually impact a community that A, we live in, or B, we really feel called to, where there are people that like we can connect our hearts with, right? So we want to move to the High Park area. So you can kind of see us up there. We're the blue nerdy dot up there. And the place where we're thinking of going is down here. Can you see this right here? right there. See that? Do you guys all see that? Okay, so, yes. So we feel like God is calling us to this area. And I want to talk specifically about this area right here. Why we feel called to this area. I have yet another map to show you. Okay, there we go. This is a bit of a better one. So for those of you who are not familiar with the High Park area, High Park is kind of made up of like two different main streets. Well, I mean, there's like a whole bunch. Like this is Queen West. That's the Gardner. Where's King? That's King. This is like Parkside, which turns into Keele. Keele goes all the way up to York University. That's Bloor. Okay, so there are these two like areas. There's like this Bloor West kind of area, and then there's this like what's called Roncesvalles area. And what's so cool is that there's like tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of young adults in this area. Tons. Because there's three specific groups of people that have been collected in this area. The first is, because of Queen West, there's this huge arts and music community. There's tons... Jay is such an anointing to minister to them. There's, like, tons and tons of, like, of little studios, and there are musicians that meet there and that gig there, and it's a very, like, musical kind of community and very artistic. So there's all these artists, and there's no churches really that are reaching out to that area. There are a few very traditional churches that are in this area, but none that are like contemporary like us, that really have a heart to reach our peers. So there's that age group. And then in this area, there's a lot of young professionals, people like you and me, who are like just in university or just graduating university and establishing kind of our lives. And they're all totally hungry. And then like Bloor West tends to be a lot of like young families, like really young families, kind of like the ones at the back, right? Like a new baby, starting a career. And Sarah and I and a bunch of others in our church have lived in this area or live in this area. And we walk the streets, and it's unbelievable how many young adults are there, and they're super hungry. And what's so cool about this area in particular is this area really values something that we value, and that's community. Amen. In High Park, you see almost no like big brand name shops or stores or restaurants because they really value community. They value support within the community. There are tons and tons and tons of support groups and like very relational kind of connections between people. And they really value that. There's no sense of like, there's very little like commuter lifestyle. This is not like the suburbs, right? It's really like a community unto itself. And so as we've been kind of seeking the Lord and saying, God, like, is it High Park? We together, like in conjunction with talking with the leadership team and with our pastors, have really felt like this is the right area because they value what we value. So if we take the momentum that we've been building in building community and love and healing, and we take that and we bring it to this environment where people already value that, they would be drawn right into it. Do you understand that? Okay, this is like super exciting. Are you guys getting a little bit excited by this? Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to keep going. We have like thousands and thousands of ideas, and we want you guys to start coming up with ideas because we feel like as a church, God is calling us more outward than ever. Now, listen, pause for a moment. I know I put lots of flashy words on screen. Some of you guys are like, what does that mean? Do I have to have a baby? Just pause, 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 pause. Look to me in my eyeball. I want to say we have all these ideas, and we want you guys to start to dream for this area because we don't want to lose what has happened here. Because if we lost what has happened here, we would lose the DNA of our church. And I personally don't want to be a part of a church that does not carry the core of what we have. And so we want the momentum of love and healing and community to actually increase. We don't want it to decrease. What I would really love is if we meet in that High Park area and like on Sundays we all come together and like someone's like, oh my gosh, this week I was at this group for like young mothers, for instance. Like that's the first one up there, like young mothers and babies. There's all these different like groups of young mothers, like we have a couple that we're thinking of joining us at this church, and they're having a baby this fall, and the woman is like, I really want to join like some of those young mothers groups and not like preach the kingdom, but like just build relationships with people. And like when they have an issue, be like, hey, I believe in healing. Can I pray for you? Or I had this amazing miracle happen with my baby. I was so worried about this. And then they got healed, and just sharing the kingdom that way. Right. And connecting with people. How awesome would that be? Right. And then you can come on a Sunday to church and be like, you guys, you're not going to believe what happened this week. Listen to all these incredible testimonies. Or even like, guys, this week sucked. I prayed for 4 people and none of them were healed. And then we can be like, that's okay. Let's pray for you. Let's encourage you. Let's send you back out again. Because we've got this connection, right? We've got this like intimacy with each other that we've been fostering for years, right? And we've got this connection of the Holy Spirit with each other, right? So then, like, the Beth Core bits of us, like all of us, the Beth Core bits in all of us can go out and change the world and still be linked in and still be growing. Amen? Okay, so these are just a few of the ideas that we've been praying about. So like serving some of the, connecting in with some of the young mothers and babies in that community. I just want to go back for a moment. I want to show you one more thing about that area. At the very far south, see the number 2 on the Gardiner Expressway, kind of where my shoulder just butted in? There. Down here, this area is called Parkdale. Oh, there's a word Parkdale, sorry. Where it says Parkdale, that's Parkdale. And what's really interesting as well is that Parkdale is a very impoverished area of the city. It's very interesting. It's sandwiched between two of the most expensive areas in the city. There's this little pocket that's very, very, very poor. And we would love to start reaching out, like, in really physical, tangible ways to the poor in our city. And that doesn't mean we have to, like, establish, like, a new charity where we, like, you know what I mean? No. There's, like, charities that do it way better than we could ever do. So, like we want to partner with, like, the United Way in Parkdale and, like, get behind them and say, like, how can we help? How can we serve? Is that we do food drives for you guys? You've got, like, food for your food bank. Is that we give you guys volunteers to, like, serve young mothers or serve battered women or serve drug addicts or any of that kind of stuff, right? So we're really laden, especially in serving the poor in that area as well. So some of our ideas for really taking out what God has given us are to, like, serve. We have this idea about Community Sunday. Sarah and I have been talking about this, and we talked about this with particularly the Prestons. They had some cool ideas about it. And we thought, we're going to do communion tonight because I want to talk a little bit about communion. I promise you I will not preach for like 100 hours. But we thought, what if we do communion like more regularly as a church? And every time we do communion, because communion is like a celebration of the fact that we are one with Christ, right? We are one with God. We've been brought into sonship, but also that we're one with each other. Did you know that? You and I are one. I'm sorry, but we are. Because I love that 1 Corinthians says, he who unites himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you and I have each made our decisions to unite ourselves to the Lord. And so because of that, our spirits are linked. I mean, here's a little aside. This is a free one. But that's why honor is so important in the kingdom. Because when I dishonor Matt, I'm not just dishonoring Matt, but who am I dishonoring? Everybody. Jesus and me. That's why when you dishonor, you bring upon yourself dishonor, you reap dishonor, because you're actually, when I dishonor Matt, a Christian, my fellow believer, I'm dishonoring the Spirit with him, and I'm also bringing dishonor on myself. Anyway, so why was I saying that? Oh, these Community Sundays. Can you tell I'm like a little bit excited? I'm sorry. Object if you can't understand what I'm saying. Okay, so these Community Sundays, we were thinking, let's do communion, but then let's think, like, practically how we can serve the community. So, like, every time we do communion, let's always do a food drive. Everybody bring in, like, one canned good. I mean, how powerful would that be? Just to be the church and be like, here, Daily Bread Food Bank, here's some food. And they're like, what do you want from this? Do you want like a tax receipt? And we're like, no, we don't want a tax receipt. We don't want any recognition. We just want to serve the poor in our city. We recognize you guys are doing a great job of it. We don't want to enter into competition with you guys. We want to support what you guys are doing. And then, like, the kingdom is, like, exploding. People are like, did you hear about that church that just, like, they just, every week, they raise money. Or every week, every month, they get food together and serve the poor people in our area. Wouldn't that be awesome? Is that not the love that is within us in action? Yeah. Would that not be cool? We have like, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of artists in that area and musicians. We thought, how would if we start getting connected with like some of these open mic nights? And we get like for instance, Marcel has a studio. He's a great producer. And like we thought, what if some of us start connecting with some of these like musicians that play in like a pub or play in like a library or play in like a bookshop or something. And we start to connect with them and be like, you have an amazing talent, right? Because like we have the God of creativity within us. They have access to a gift of creativity, but we have the source. So imagine if we started to connect with them and start to inspire them and start to share with them some of our creativity, some of our songwriters and some of our musicians some of our artists start to connect with those artists. Like imagine what would happen, the connections that would happen, how we would draw people in to the kingdom through what they love. Our outreach is to artists. I said that dogs in Hyde Park. Sarah and I have a dog, and yeah, any dog, any other dog owners in here? What? Sarah, and there's this little section of the actual park called Hyde Park, called the dog park, where dogs can run without a leash, and they all go crazy because dogs are always on a leash. What's that? All the dog owners know each other. Exactly. That's just what I was gonna say. but people talk. So what happens is you go in, you let your dog off, and everyone kind of stands in one corner, and they'll throw a ball, or all the dogs, like, they wrestle each other, and they run around, or they go, a couple people will go for a walk, and they all know one another. It's so amazing. So Sarah and I have been there a few times, and you chat with people. It's unbelievable how open people are when there's a connection. That's your puppy. Oh, he's really cute. And then you just have a chance to just share life and share the kingdom and let your light shine. It's awesome, and it's effortless. And it's not like us as a church deciding to do outreach. It's not like an outreach effort. I mean, it's loving our neighbor, absolutely. It's connecting with what God has given us, with what we're passionate about, right? So Donna is an artist. Donna would probably want to connect with other artists. Donna probably wouldn't want to connect with break dancers too much because she's not so much of a break dancer, although she's a pretty good dancer. Maybe, I don't know, do you feel called to break? I don't know, sorry. Anyway. The last kind of point before we move on is there's this place called The Review, which is the principal place that we're looking at in that area, and it's a community-owned theater. I want to just talk to you about this for a second. There were all these, like, festival theaters in the city. So those of you who have been in the city for a long time, you'll kind of understand this. And they started going out of business in the early 90s, Lover. Is that right? Yes. You're just saying yes? Okay, yeah, you weren't paying attention. Anyway. And the community there in that area, they heard that this theater was going under, and the community raised. Was it 2 years? No, it couldn't have been that. Was it that recent? Forget what I said. Forget what I said. And they raised $60,000 in how many days? Was it 2 weeks?
No, it was a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because they were.
Hello. I've been distracted. I'm sitting next to a very cute baby. They basically, all of the festival theaters in Toronto were being closed down because the government didn't want to fund them anymore, and it had been government fun. And of all of the festival theaters, I'm pretty sure this is the only one. Some of them just closed outright, and you'll just see them, like, they're just blacked out now. They're not being used. And some of them, a private company came in and owned it, so they now own it, and all the money that people spend there goes to them. But now, Review is the only one that is actually owned by the community. So they're like, we need this ridiculous amount of money. What was it, $60,000? $60,000. And people from the community are like, here's 20, here's 50, here's 100. I'll write a check. Just take my money. Just make sure that it doesn't close. So it's literally owned by no one and everyone. It's owned by the community, and it's the heart and soul of that neighborhood. They're like, that's our theater because we bailed it out. It's like so cool.
Okay, so what we want you guys to do is to pray with us because we're in talks with them. And at first they were kind of like, oh, you're a church? But we're like, but the more we talk to them, the more they're like so excited by us. And they were kind of apologetic. They're like, oh, you know, sometimes we don't show exactly Christian films. And we're like, oh, that's fine. That's cool. We want to be in an environment where we would love to be in that environment. We love that area. We want to serve the community as well. And many of us are from that community. And they're getting more and more excited about us. So on Tuesday, they're having a board of directors meeting for the review. Monday? Okay. Tomorrow, Monday, they're having a board of directors meeting for that theater. And I want you guys to pray tomorrow with us. I want you to pray that God gives us favor and God opens a door for us to be there, because that would be like a huge open door for us to meet in that facility. Okay. It's called The Review. Okay. What I wanted. It has a website. I follow it on Twitter. What's that? Oh, yeah. That'd be cool if we were on their Twitter account. That's right. We were just talking about that yesterday. Because they have this, everyone in like Blue West, most people in Blue West follow them on Twitter. So like, it's like, these are the daily shows this week. And occasionally they have like a little draw, like first person to email back with the name of this actor who's in this movie wins like popcorn or something. But how cool would it be if it was like Sundays and it was like showing MacGruber and then CTF, then Catch the Fire Church. And then, like, how cool would that be if, like, there was, like, movie titles in our church name, like, right in the middle of it? People would be like, what is that? Because they seem really excited about us, and I think that they would want to promote us as a church, right? How cool would that be, right? And then, like, exactly, like, miracles. Like, imagine if the guy who does the Twitter gets healed of something, and, like, anyway. So we want you guys to start to pray with us and start to cast vision with us. Now, I want to again say, we want to grow out of the momentum. So we don't want to leave the momentum of what we've been doing. So start to pray and seek God for vision in the momentum of what we've been doing. And start to ask him, God, how can I partner with this? What are you saying to me? How can I like join and link arms with this new vision of our church as we move forward? What are you saying to me, God? And like, email us as a team. Talk to us. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some fresh vision. We're still working out the timeline. We're thinking it'll probably be sooner rather than later. So not like 6 months or 3 months. We're hoping it can be probably within about a month's time, because the summer is the best time to make a move like that, right? And everyone's outdoors in the summer during Hyde Park. Whereas if we wait for the winter, it's like gray and blue, right? So anyway, please pray and email us and tell us your thoughts. Okay, I want to quickly look at one more thing, and this is going to kind of like pull it all together. I know you're like, Andrew, how are you going to do that? I'm going to do it. Just wait. Matthew 26, verse 23. This is Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he's sharing his heart. And I love the passage in John. If you really want to really dive into what happened at that moment, look at like the last, the John like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Look at those passages in John, because it's Jesus with his disciples just before he goes to the cross. And he really shares his heart. And in Matthew 26, we get the Matthew's perspective, and it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And what Jesus was doing in that moment, he was giving us a visual example of what was to come, of the freedom and the healing that was to come, and of the connection and the intimacy that was to come up, that was to come. And you and I, we do this. We do communion, not because it's like some religious ritual that gets us closer to God. I want you to know that. We don't do that for that reason. We do it to remember and to connect our hearts again with the truth. So what I'd like us to do is actually to get in groups of like two or three or four. Let's say three or four. Do that right now. Stand up and stand in a group. Make sure, look around you. Please make sure not one person is left out. Look around. Make sure no one's left out. Yay. Shh. So just look around. Is anyone left out? If you're left out, please put your hand up. We'll fit you into a group. You two guys a group there? Awesome. Are you two a group? Is that good? There we go. Jake, you have a group, right? That's good. That's fine. Three, four, five. That's fine. Three, four, five is good. No ten. No, not ten. No, sinners. No, I'm just joking. Okay, what I want us to do is I want us to take a moment. I want you to find whoever's tallest or whoever's oldest. Have that person go and get enough wafers, crackers, and maybe one or two juice containers for your group. Just grab a cup and then please wait. Don't take communion yet. So please, please, please wait. Please don't go ahead. The juice is not anointing oil. Don't try and anoint anyone with it. And we couldn't get a liquor license, so it is juice. I'm sorry. You hold it. Oh, thank you. Shh. So, you know, distribute your stuff evenly so everyone's got something. And, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this tonight is because this is a picture of the fact that you and I are one, that we are all one in this place. Each one of us, we are linked together by the Holy Spirit, inseparably linked. So not one of us can be cut off. Right. Did you know that? Yeah. You can't be cut out. Even if every person in this church makes a silly mistake and we all shun you and we say, never come back to our church, even then, we're still linked to you. We're still one with you. We're not going to do that, by the way. But just so you know, we're still linked to you. We can't be, it's like blood. Many of you know my sister. She will always be my sister. Even when she annoys me, even if I try and disown her and I break off friendship and relationship with her and I change my name, she and I will still have the same blood in us because we're both Gazaneos. And you and I here, we have the same blood. We have Jesus' blood running in our veins. And we are inseparable. And so, Lord, as we eat these crackers that are like just a picture, God, of your body. Lord, we thank you that you sacrificed yourself so that we could be one. That we wouldn't be broken. We wouldn't be on our own. God, we wouldn't be rejected. We wouldn't be orphans, but instead we'd be linked. We'd be tied. We'd be drawn in to a real living family. Ha. And Papa, as we partake right now, God, I ask that, God, that you bring healing to people's bodies, that you'd restore people's bodies and people's hearts, God, where they felt isolated. God, where there's any sickness in them, Jesus, we thank you that by your stripes we are healed, that Jesus, you endured beating and suffering and torture for every illness and every sickness that could ever come against us. So, Lord, as we partake, we again remind ourselves and we declare in the Spirit that we are healed in Jesus. Body, soul, mind, spirit. Let's do that now. Thank you that we are one, Jesus. That we are linked to you. Our hearts are linked to yours. And Jesus, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for this juice that represents the wine that you guys drank on that night, that represents your blood, Jesus, that was shed. And thank you that your blood wasn't just shed like the blood of the animals that the Israelites sacrificed again and again and again, not just like a temporary kind of reprieve, but forever we are unpunishable. Yeah. We are now completely unpunishable, Jesus, because you died for us, because your blood was spilt. We are completely unpunishable. Some of you need to close your eyes and just let that sink in, and maybe you even need to say it. Just repeat that after me. I am unpunishable. Ha. We declare that in the spirit realm. Because of you, Jesus, because the fullness of God's wrath was poured on you, I am unpunishable. Say that again. I am unpunishable. Hey. And so because of that, God, all we get is your love. We get drawn into your love. And so, Father, as we drink this, just again a symbol of the blood of Jesus, we thank you again that you didn't force us to come to you. While we were still sinners, you saved us. While we were far off, God, you loved us and you've drawn us to you and you've linked us in with each other. So let's do that now. Let's drink this juice as a picture of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for drawing us in, Jesus. And just grab hands with the people in your circle, please. I want to just take a moment. I want us to pray. Hey, God, I ask that you would unite us together in Christ. God, that you would draw in the lost, that you would draw in the broken, that you would draw in those who need this, Lord. Every child of yours that's lost in this city, God, we ask that you would allow us as a church, not just our church, but all of Catch the Fire and all the church in Toronto, God, to really shine your light. And Father, for each one of us, God, we ask for healing and life and strength to fill us. God, would you come and would you give us fresh vision? Would you show us the new things you're growing in our hearts, God? Show us the new things that are sprouting up. Give us excitement again where there's been hopelessness, God. Would you release hope today? I speak a release of hope in the name of Jesus. And God, every area where there has been lack, everything that we have lacked, in Jesus' name, I declare prosperity and healing and blessing to start to flow right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that we have everything we need in you. Psalm 84 says, no good thing does he withhold from him whose walk is blameless. And because of Jesus, that's us. We are blameless. We stand blameless before you. Father, I ask that you would heal and restore people's hearts. And God, I ask that as a church, you would so envision us as we move forward, God. God, we thank you so much for what you have done in us in this place, God. What you've done in us, what was TACF, God? What you've done in us, what you've worked in us, God, how you've healed us and restored us and empowered us. And God, we ask that would never stop because we are so addicts of your presence, God. But Lord, let it continue and give us fresh vision. God, I ask for our church that you would so inspire us. You would so inspire our hearts and give us a passion as we move forward together, Father, to impact our city and particularly that area of High Park where you're leading us, God. Lord, let us have dreams and visions and start to get like prophetic words and prophetic understanding and supernatural keys, God. I ask you to start to release these things to us over the next few days and weeks and months, God, as we move forward together. And Father, I bless each person today, and I ask that you would really surround us and encourage us and hold us close to you. Ha. And give us excitement about what is to come, God. Hey, I release excitement for free. It's not something you have to work at. It's just excitement. God, let it be released in people's hearts, particularly those, God, where there's been a lack of that. Whoa, right now. Father, we love you and we love what you're doing in us. Continue to grow us. Grow the gardens of us, God. Grow us, God. Weed us. Take out what doesn't need to be there. But grow us, God. Grow us in Jesus' name. Just take a moment and just pray in your groups. Pray for a few minutes. One or two people in your group, just pray out. Bless each other. Go ahead and do that.